Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I got my hours mixed up. I'm sorry. We'll be joined shortly by Tiffany Cianci, Mary Tyler Bowden in the 1 o'clock hour Central Time. But I want to spend this first 5 minutes of this hour talking about Candace Owens. This was posted yesterday with this headline. Candace Owens completely exposes FBI Director Kash Patel. She confirms he was deliberately installed to protect elite criminals and cover up massive Washington corruption. Let's watch.
I would push back on your point that Kash Patel isn't doing his job. I think he is.
Interesting.
I think that is his job. Mm-hmm. And that is why he is in there. They put him in there and they tell him what to do. And it is to look the other way and to come up with excuses. I think he is executing his job perfectly.
Well, he hasn't been fired yet.
Yeah.
So
his job is being executed perfectly. His job is to protect the elites. And shame on us for thinking that his job is to make sure justice is served. And he paid all that lip service. If I get in there day one, here's what's going to happen. None of that's happened because he went in there in the same way that Trump went in there. I don't know who their boss is. I actually think both of them have the same boss, if I'm being frank.
Yeah.
They both answer to Vegas and Tel Aviv. But it's clear to me that he is doing a great job for the people that he actually works for.
Yeah.
And again, you know, this is something that we talked about and really had confirmed all the way back in September of 2025. Here's Alex Jones in September, on September 22nd, 2025, talking about how inside sources exposed that that's exactly what Kash Patel was doing, in this case with the Charlie Kirk assassination. But in every situation, Epstein files, Charlie Kirk assassination, it's been Kash Patel who's come in and shut the whole thing down. Here's Alex Jones.
And I got it from high-level White House sources, and I confirmed it with others that were there, that they said, we don't want accomplices. This wasn't Trump. I mean, people at the White House heard this when they were having DOJ meetings. We're going with the lone gunman. We're not really going after the accomplices because Trump had said, I want the Trantifa. I want the six trannies that said, Charlie be dead tomorrow. I want them SWAT teamed. I want them arrested. And the word went out, no, we're not doing what the big guy wants as usual. We're going with this story and that. And then 2 days after I came out with that, Kash Patel comes out and says, oh, no, we're looking at all the angles, and we're looking at multiple shooters. And Dan Bongino, I sent you guys a clip. I didn't see it on my list. It's like a 15-minute clip. Pull that up for me. I'll send it again if you don't have it. I shouldn't see it on my list. Or just go to X and type in, Bongino says they're looking at the crowd helping the shooter. Well, you say you want a conspiracy. Yeah. They're like, yay, yay, cheering. They're not scared when it happens. Two people say they killed him and said we did it as a diversion for the shooter. Yeah, there's your conspiracy right there. And it's crickets on that. Absolute, total, and complete crickets. So, yeah. It doesn't look like a cover-up. It is a cover-up. A cover-up of what? I'm not exactly sure. And maybe it was Netanyahu. If we find out, we'll report it.
I've got to get 10 different assumptions to make this gunshot work. And maybe, mate, right, Alex? In the universe of worlds, maybe the jackpot Powerball got hit and all of those things happened. And that's what led to this 30-06 round nap passing through his neck. If you want to believe that, and I know some people do, that's fine. But I'm sorry, it's not.
I don't know anybody wants to believe this now, but the FBI. But I was told 2 days before Patel came out and said, we're looking at everything, all the angles, helpers, blah, hand signs. I was told from inside the White House, no, they're going with lone gunmen. They're not even looking at the Trantifa saying he'll be dead tomorrow. So I was told by very credible people there's a cover-up, and I don't say that with pleasure. Let me tell you this one piece of intel.
All right, so that is from, again, Thursday. September 22nd, 2025. And I want to go quickly, if we can, because, you know, we exposed the Charlie Kirk thing before literally anybody else. I want to go to clip 22 here. We just have time. Let's watch. He said, I don't even want to discuss this because this topic has nothing to do with our diplomatic work. He was asked about Epstein. This topic has to do with exposing the face of what is called the collective West, that is called the deep state, even now no longer a state, but a deep alliance that rules the entire West and is trying to rule the world. He's talking about the Epstein class, which is exactly the people pulling Kash Patel's strings, and we've been telling you about it for years at this point.
The most banned man in America, Alex Jones, I want you all to know something. Alex Jones was right.
Alex is right about far more than he's wrong.
Alex has been right on for over a decade.
I don't care how you slice it, dice it, flip it up, or rub it down. Alex Jones was right.
Think about how frustrated we are if you've been awake for a year or two. Imagine being like an Alex Jones or those guys who've been awake for like decades.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Alex Jones never bought the Russia hoax, not for a second.
You are one of the great thinkers of this.
You are a martyr to the First Amendment.
The government fears Alex Jones.
That's why the globalists hate me, is because I'm exposing their corporate worldwide tyranny.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, folks. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. I'm joined by Tiffany Cianci. You can follow her on X at The Vino Mom. The Vino Mom on X. She, of course, is a regular guest here. We're in contact because you're there in Kentucky trying valiantly to get Thomas Massie over the finish line. And we of course all did everything we could, but you know, sometimes a couple tens of millions of dollars really, really does the trick there, doesn't it, Tiffany? We need your audio up.
Oh, so sorry. I honestly, if I had known how difficult the state laws in Kentucky are the second hardest state laws for primarying in the United States, right? And so the way that Kentucky's laws are written, you have to be registered to vote for that person 6 months before the election. And that's why AIPAC didn't start spending any money until February, because you had to be registered in December. And so none of the young people that wanted to support Thomas Massie could go register to vote at any point after AIPAC started spending money. But I think he came up a lot better than he otherwise would have. And I think he's got huge prospects now as a result of the work we did. And we had 3 billion impressions in 6 days.
Yeah.
And it was a very successful outing for us.
I think so too. And, you know, it showed that people aren't just willing to roll over and surrender to these people. And it really is all about the fight. And I look forward to seeing what Thomas Massie does in the future. Of course, he was on a boat in Costa Rica recently, and I think he deserves a good vacation. But actually, you're here to talk about another topic that you've been coming on the Alex Jones Network, previously InfoWars, for years talking about and warning about and trying to sound the alarm about: private equity. And of course, Larry Fink, BlackRock, the World Economic Forum, the way private equity is being used to dismantle the United States should be the top story every single day until we solve this problem. But I understand there's another attack, yet another chance for us to stand up and fight against these people. Yeah. What do you got for us today, Tiffany?
Well, so this week, Larry Fink was on a stage and he said kind of the quiet part out loud, which is that these data centers aren't going to be paid for by the tech companies. They're going to be paid for by people's retirement accounts, which is sort of what I've been saying. It ties right into what I've been saying. And I don't know. I sent you the clip. I don't know if you guys have the clip, but he sat on stage and said, "We're not paying for this. The retirement accounts are going to pay for this because we're going to pay for the bubble that's being created that is absolutely unnecessary." And when you look at the heart of the issue of what we're facing right now, we see private credit markets, private equity markets, and the seal of our 401ks happening now on a multifaceted front. And there's two attacks on our 401ks this week. And one, we have something we can do about, but I think all of them are really important because people can act on all of them. We don't have that clip.
Let's start with that clip because we do have that clip. And I think I want you to kind of break it down for us, translate it for us, because obviously when these people discuss these things like Larry Fink, I mean, they're very, very good at discussing it in a way that seems benign, that seems like, well, it's either, you know, just going to happen. It's just inevitable. So we just have to deal with it, or that it's actually a good thing. And we're actually giving you a chance here to, you know, get in on the ground floor. I mean, they have a way of selling this that it sounds at the worst benign, but really maybe a positive. So I'd like you to sort of deconstruct what he's saying and explain, you know, what it actually means, because clearly it ain't good, and he's not speaking in a forthright fashion. So this is from Shadow of Ezra. The CEO of BlackRock, Larry Fink, admits the trillions of dollars being used to build data centers and power grids will come from ordinary people's saving accounts and pension funds, saying it's going to be mandatory. Let's watch.
If we could get more and more Americans to think about growing with the United States, we will have far than enough money to invest in this infrastructure. But as the governor was talking about, the need for electrons is growing every day. Some of these, you know, if we're going to be the leader in technology, which we are, if we are going to be the leader in AI, which we presently are, it's just going to require trillions of dollars of investments. And if we don't invest in it, China will be the global leader in this. And so to me, it's not whether. This is a must. And if you think about how that translates, it translates into a more dynamic economy. We need the United States economy to grow at over 2%. We need the U.S. economy to grow at 3%, especially with the growing deficits the federal government has. And so much of this money, not just the projects, is going to be coming from the private sector, from savings accounts, from pension accounts, from insurance companies, and on and on and on. The whole world is in need of improving the infrastructure.
So there you go. We have to. It's mandatory. They're basically not asking questions. Break down for us what he just said there. Translate that into human.
So what he said was very, very much the quiet part out loud, which is it's mandatory. We have to make the most data centers. We have to grow the most infrastructure. To be frank, China only has 10% of the data center infrastructure that we do because they recognize that the future of compute is not going to be in data centers. Right now, these data centers are being built across an electrical grid that we've allowed to crumble over the last 30 years while China's built the like most robust infrastructure improvements in the world. But they also recognize that these data centers are outdated within 3 years. By the time the walls are up, the chips that they ordered when it started are no longer relevant.
That's something I think people don't understand. These data centers run so hard all the time that they burn out graphics cards in 1 to 3 years, depending on their usage.
Correct.
So if you're talking about a 60,000 acre, whatever, you know, server farm, imagine that entire landscape having to be replaced a year later or at the most 3 years later. I don't even understand how that could even be feasible or possible with the size of data centers we're talking about. You're supposed to replace those every 3 years. Where is the material even going to come from? It's insane. And people don't know that. They don't understand how all of this stuff has to be replaced constantly for data centers. The servers they operate on only last a year to 3 years.
Correct. And as you look at the fact that we're building, we're expected to have 5,581 data centers in production by the end of the year. China's the next closest with like 550. But China's also open sourcing all of their development and they're decentralizing all of their compute, which means that it's going to be in computers. It's going to be on people's homes. It's going to be in small decentralized compute generators. And as the models get better and better, the compute mandatory is going to be less and less, which we're already seeing coming out of China in real time. But what we're seeing here in the United States are a bunch of real estate developers that scrambled to jump on this bandwagon and now are stuck in a bubble where they need to keep us believing we need this many data centers. We do not. We do not require this many data centers. And they have now invested and promised trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars through companies like Anthropic, through companies like OpenAI, through companies like Google, through companies like Grok that is now acquired by SpaceX. And that is why I sent you over the clips today about the fears related to the IPOs that are coming for Anthropic, OpenAI, and Grok, because that ties directly into this. They're now stuck in this bubble where all of these data center buildouts are being funded by private credit, and those deals are falling apart. And that's why private credit markets are starting to be halted. That's why they can't have withdrawals. That's because they're not seeing returns. It's because we have a bunch of money that's promised to all of this compute through companies that have no profit model that is viable whatsoever, that are committed to trillions and trillions of dollars. Sorry. And as they're doing it, I apologize. As they're doing it, we're seeing in real time that they don't have a way to pay it back. And they're moving it off books. Meta is a really good example right now. Meta has the third or fourth largest data center in the world being built in Louisiana. and Meta has, they moved it to a shell company. And it's hundreds of billions of dollars. And they moved it off their books, so it's no longer in their quarterly reportings to Wall Street. So it looks like they don't owe anything. But they are due to pay it back over 30 years when that data center will be obsolete within three.
Right.
There is no viable model, and it's being funded from pensions. And the reason that this is important is because we've been talking a lot about rating of pensions, and all of this is about to wrap up in a bow to what we started talking about a year ago. So if you pull up one of the articles I sent you on the IPOs of Anthropic, OpenAI, and SpaceX,
yep.
Right now, all three of those companies are seeking trillion-dollar plus valuations with no profitability. That has never happened before, ever, in the history of the stock market. Now, what no one's talking about is the SEC quietly approved a rule that the Trump administration pushed through just a couple months ago that said if a company came in with a valuation that high, they were guaranteed immediate access first to the Magnificent Seven, so it'll become the Magnificent Ten, which are the only companies propping up our entire economy right now artificially through cyclical investment with one another, the same 100 billion passing around one after another in a circle, right? But simultaneously, there's a new rule that allows them immediate access to index funds. Now, normally there was a 12 to 18 month waiting period after a company went public. That's going to IPO, okay? To prove that those big high valuations when they came in the door would have legs, that they would have profits, that those profits would pour in and that there would be returns. And after that, you got to be included in index funds. Index funds are considered a safety valve, a mechanism for investing in the stock market through your pension and your 401k that allows you to diversify your risk so that you don't, if one company falls out, your portfolio doesn't fall out. The problem is that the tech ETFs index, the utility indexes, the commodities indexes are all now tied in to AI exclusively almost, right? All of the things we're buying, all of the heavy minerals, all of the water usage, all the utilities that's going there, all of the build outs of infrastructure going there, right? All of the commodities that we're buying to build out all those chips and to build out all of that infrastructure going there. And all of the tech companies are intrinsically tied there. Well, if these three companies, like let's look at SpaceX, $18 billion in revenue, they're seeking a $1 trillion valuation. $18 billion, no profit model. They're losing $5 billion a year right now. And they're seeking a $1 trillion valuation. OpenAI, their first two forays into trying to demonstrate profitability failed. They created Sora. It flopped in under 3 months. But they say they're going to be worth $1.6 trillion, right? And so if they get these valuations, immediately all of our retirement accounts will have to buy into them at the top of the market. The moment they hit the market, they'll be automatically added to the index funds. And that has never happened before. That's a brand new rule.
No,
and that is why we're going to be forced to buy them and pay for this.
It's completely insane. And it's like, what even is the promise of potential profitability? Because at least with big tech and, you know, it was always, Amazon, for example, would take a loss year over year. But they had a strategy where, well, as long as we get the customers and as long as they become loyal, then it will pay off down the road. Sure, we'll, you know, give returns even though we shouldn't and we'll lose money. But we're capturing segments of the market, consumer goods. So like there's money in the future to be had. You know, big tech. Sure, they might, you know, it might be expensive to run server farms, but you get people on the platforms. Now you can start advertising to them. There was a potential for profitability there. They're not going to be bringing in trillions of dollars worth of token buys, right? Like there's absolutely no way that this becomes profitable in a traditional market system. So either it's going to be government contracts. So it's like they're taking money from the pensions to build these in the first place, and then they'll be paid back for that by the government contracts that are already guaranteed, or else they wouldn't take the risk of putting the trillions of dollars into building these in the first place if they didn't know there was going to be a return on investment out of your tax dollars. Do I have that right, at least in part?
You do. And you absolutely have that. And what people really aren't realizing is how much AI is being subsidized right now. Okay. They need to get us addicted to it. There is a reason that Sam Altman came out and said that he sees intelligence in the future as children and people not having it and us renting it back from him as if a meter on a utility. They need us addicted to AI because they've already gone all in on this and the bottom is going to fall out. It's not replacing real people. It's not doing the things they said it could do. The young people are absolutely anarchy, like mutinying against it. We've seen five consecutive commencement speeches where AI was mentioned and the speakers were booed off the stage this last 2 weeks. Right. And we see this, but we also don't recognize that to get us addicted, they're subsidizing all this compute with just blatant spend and no profitability. Right now, if I spend $100 a month with Anthropic, I get $16,000 worth of compute. That is not a sustainable business model. and all of these companies that are eliminating coders and saying we're going to go to using AI to do our web development or AI to do our security protocols are realizing very quickly that when that subsidy ends, this is going to cost five times what an employee would have.
Yeah.
People are more effective and they're cheaper.
That's the irony, is that people are going to, you know, basically turn their entire businesses over to these AI companies that are going to be able to jack up the prices. And what are you going to, you know, do? You're stuck with them from then on. It's just such an obvious scam. All of it is just a giant scam. And so there's no way they're going to be making the money back with, you know, tokens, especially not when you've got Chinese models that run for like 1 cent versus $10 for one of the American models. So they're going to get outcompeted by the Chinese models anyway. So the only way that this becomes profitable is, well, it'll really never become profitable.
War.
It'll be useful. It'll be worth it if they use it to create the basically digital panopticon and they can, you know, structure the activities of humankind as a whole. And yeah, I guess you can turn that profitable eventually. But no, it's about control and has nothing to do with the market whatsoever, does it?
Yeah, absolutely. And like the article is showing right now, the newest AI boom will be mini home data centers at your home. That's a viable model of decentralized compute. We don't need these giant data centers. And I always love to point out, where are these tech bros that were screaming about global warming 3 years ago? The data center around the corner from my house, it's 70 degrees hotter a mile up in the air. 70 degrees. They told me it may never snow at my house again at our last county council meeting. Where are the global warming guys? Where are these tech guys that were screaming about global warming when we're building entire microclimates for these data centers because they have to keep the bubble growing, right? We need to keep this bubble churning because once the bottom falls out, so does the entire economy because our entire economy is being floated by it. And so now they're going to get our retirement accounts through these index funds. And they're going to get it to bail out the private credit markets when the bubble happens over on the Department of Labor side. So we have two separate problems that we need to do a lot about.
Yeah, well, and they're deeply intertwined. I mean, the data centers and the private equity are two, you know, tentacles of the same beast. And, you know, you point out it's one of the most like egregious in your face. I can't understand why it's not having more of an impact, the way in which they abandoned climate change in favor of data center. I mean, it's just it wasn't subtle. It wasn't like, you know, they had it happen over time to get people used to it. Like New York Times had the article yesterday. Why scientists retired the dire climate scenario that's been used for over a decade. While global warming is still a threat, the decision to back away from worst case outlook raises questions about whether some risks have been overstated. It's not that complicated. They found out a better way to control and enslave you. Like, that's it. That's what the purpose of climate change was. Now they found a better way that actually requires a ton of energy. So climate change doesn't matter anymore. I mean, they just did it. Yeah. And like, people don't even notice how obvious all of this is.
I mean, I don't know how anyone could not see that when it was literally these tech billionaires that were screaming the loudest about it. They were doing carbon exchanges and they were telling us we needed to all move to electric vehicles. And those same companies, right, SpaceX and Tesla, that were screaming everybody needs an electric vehicle, are now saying, and we can have plants that output the energy of 70 atomic bombs per week.
Yep.
Into the skies. You can't have it both ways.
No.
You really can't, but they really want us to have it. You know, they want us to just swallow that pill. And I just China's recognized a better way to do it. They're open sourcing all of their development, which means that they're going to 200,000 people and saying, give us the best idea. What's the best way to reduce compute? What's the best way to get the most efficient models? And in doing that, they're letting the genius of their population, the cream, rise to the top. And they're going to come out ahead because we have put all of our faith in four billionaires that, frankly, a lot of them say the most sociopathic things imaginable, right? And they're all telling us, give us all of your data, which is the most valuable resource on Earth, by the way. And we promise at some point, trust me, bro, we'll come up with the best idea. One of the three of us is definitely going to have it. You know, and that's why we're losing. We're allowing monopolists to control the narrative. We're allowing monopolists to control our market. We're allowing monopolists to control our administration. We're allowing monopolists to control all investment. We're allowing monopolists to control our regulatory agencies. And as a result, we're going to be the socialized risk that bails out the bubble that's going to pop and destroy this economy.
And it's all, you know, coming from the same sources. It's all coming from the intelligence agencies. I'm going to show a clip, when we get back after commercial break, from John Kiriakou, where he's, you know, laying out the history of InQtel and the fact that the CIA decided it was shortly after September 11th. They were, you know, given a pass to invest for profit in tech companies in order to get access to emergent technology. And the first company that they contracted with was Palantir, of course. And Palantir has now become the basically operating system of the New World Order. And it's not a coincidence that the people building the data centers are now saying, well, these people protesting data centers, they're being funded by China, and this is domestic terror. And in fact, this video just broke like 1 minute before you came on air, and it is a it's from M. Red Pill's Joke Army. Police running down and harassing a guy over a post on Facebook about protesting data centers. So I think we have that video. Let's go to this. I want to get your comment on the other side. But it's not a coincidence that these data centers are being built in such a way that's destroying the lives of the communities with this, and the aggressiveness with which they're pursuing this goal, and then criminalizing opposition to it. This is, I mean, we've never seen anything like this in America before, but this is what it looks like. Let's watch.
Punks right here came by because I'm trying to organize a community protest against a representative who's trying to push in a data center owned by a out-of-state company, trying to suck up all our energy. I made a post. I made an event on Facebook trying to organize the community to get together. And what's your badge number? What's name that? And badge number?
I'm Detective Henson.
And name and badge number?
Sure. SHRP and it's 160.
Okay. Yeah. I have a First Amendment right to protest. And if I organize a protest on a public road, there's nothing wrong with that. I sent an email to that representative and I can show you the email. I never made a threat. I told him, no, this is my house and I'm going to talk. You guys are on my property trying to intimidate me because I'm organizing a protest against a data center. Then why are you here?
Well, that's if you let me. Okay, so first off, do you want to talk about this?
Talk about what? There's nothing to talk about. I'm organizing a protest, so, and I'm allowed to do that. It's a First Amendment protected activity.
110%.
Yeah.
The issue is some of the communication, the Facebook posts. I would disagree that there's.
I haven't made a single threat. Tell me what threat I made.
Okay. Well, you know what you posted.
No, give me a quote. Me quote. Okay. Quote a threat because I didn't make one. I'm organizing a protest on a public street, okay, demanding a representative.
What about the safety of his children.
Huh?
What about the safety of his children?
Someone else made a comment about the safety of his children.
Did you?
No.
You didn't?
No. What I said if he valued his children's safety, he probably wouldn't be trying to ruin the world that they're being brought up on. And that isn't a threat. That's the fact that I'm watching this man ruin the world around here. And yes, I'm allowed to say that if someone cares about their kids, they shouldn't destroy the community that their kids are being raised in. That's not a threat.
The problem is you didn't say that in the post.
Yes, I did.
You did not.
Pull it up. Pull it up and read it. Pull it up and read it.
I've been dealing with this all afternoon.
Cool. Pull it up and read it.
Okay. So that's the concerning part is obviously, yes, you have the right to make an event, you have the right to public protest, everything else, right?
But I never made a threat.
Okay. Well, we disagree, and our state's attorney disagrees. Okay, so you're going to be charged today for a couple of offenses.
Seriously? I'm going to get charged. For what?
For stalking and intimidation.
For stalking? When did I ever go to his house?
So we'll explain that to you more. Okay, yeah. So you are going to be placed under arrest right now, okay?
Okay, so let me
conclude your live stream.
Wow.
We need you to stay here with you.
I didn't even realize they actually put him under arrest. I thought this was just another case of intimidation. They actually arrested a guy for planning a protest against data centers because he says this person has kids, and if he cares about his kids, he should care about the community they grow up in, and they're interpreting that as a threat. That is a terrifying precedent to be set.
You know, they're trying to say that these are funded protests. I've got to tell you, I've never seen a more unifying movement in my adult life. In the United States, we are in Maryland. I'm based in Maryland, right? I'm outside DC. Obviously, I'm in DC a lot. But I live out in very rural agricultural land, Maryland, where we are on Data Center Row. And we had thousands of farmers turn up to protest our data centers, and they rubber stamped the last two. And in our state, we have referendum laws, and so do 26 other states in the United States. And our state is doing a referendum to stop all data centers. And, our captain is three doors down from me, and she's a retiree with a kid in college. So I'd love to see them say where the funding is coming from, because we're watching it in real time here.
Absolutely. And we need communities to stand up and pass laws like that. You can do it. They've done it in Texas. We'll be right back.
We have to get more people hired. We have to finish the new big studios. We have to have our legal defense and offense. And we have to move forward. So now is the time. Have we not delivered to you in the fight against tyranny? Have you not delivered supporting us at Symbiotic? A win-win situation. Like he says in Gladiator after he chops up, you know, the four guys just a few seconds. He says, are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? And I say, are you not empowered? Are the tyrants not scared? Are they not coming after me and my crew? You want somebody to fight? You want somebody to stand up for you? Well, then you got to back them. And those that have backed us, I salute you from the bottom of my heart. And those that have shared the articles and videos, that's great. But it's different classes of people. It's people that tune in and get the knowledge, but are scared or lazy or whatever. Then there's people that at least share the articles and videos and Paul revere it. We appreciate you. Okay? So you got like copper, you know, on the bottom. At least you listen, but I hope people learn from this through osmosis or something. Then you got the silver folks that at least share the articles and videos to wake up other people. And then you got the gold standard, the people that do it all, and the people that get great products that are smart enough to say, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I believe him. He'd only sell me something that works. And then they try it. We have a 90%+ reorder rate with supplements because I wouldn't sell you something that doesn't work. I'm not stupid. That's why I don't serve evil. I know the second, third, fourth order events of it will destroy me. Plus, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I feel good being truthful. I feel good being honest. I feel good stomping tyrants politically into the ground nonviolently. Slashing their throats nonviolently. Stabbing ice picks in their heads nonviolently. Cutting their heads off nonviolently. Ripping their entrails out politically nonviolently. I like just breaking their bones and grinding them down to make my bread. Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of satanic globalist scum. Be they alive or be they dead, I'll grind their bones to make my bread. You want somebody to fight for you? Well, you better believe you got it. The real McCoy. The spirit of resistance and victory. And they know it, and it's why they fear it. And if you will simply join me and ask God for this spirit to lead, God, and direct us, the spirit that overcomes, God doesn't give us over to a spirit of weakness and fear, but one is a roaring lion that conquers, that destroys tyrants, that overcometh. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. And we are the crucible. We are the shield of the people. We are the standard. We have the spirit. We have the will. But we have to have no fear and commit to this fight. Give me your word of mouth. Give me your prayers to God for our providence and support, because if God be with us, who can stand against us? And financially support us now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP. Cancel any time. It's no commitment. You just get all the best deals. $30 a month spend, instantly $40 to buy whatever you want. You make 10 bucks right there. Special offers, sales on top of sales for everybody, and special offers at thealexjonesstore.com. Commit. Be a VIP. You can also donate on the site at the donate button. Just take action now. But those of you that have supported us, you know who you are, and I thank you from the bottom of my soul.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Listening to an AJN Live Frontline Report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the show. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. Support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. We actually have some pretty great offers for you there today. This week is the final week to be entered to win both the Hummer custom H1 Hummer and the 2026 Dodge Charger. You're always entered to win a car if you shop at thealexjonesstore.com, but once a month, there's a week where you can be entered to win both the cars, so you're doubling up your chances to win both, either or both of the cars, plus $20,000 in cash. For every dollar you spend, you get 100 times entries this week only at thealexjonesstore.com. We're also giving you a free $10 on thealexjonesstore.com. Anything you purchase will be $10 off. That offer ends Monday, June 1st at midnight. There's also different tiers of benefits. So if you spend $99, you're going to get free shipping. Spend $125 at thealexjonesstore.com, you get free CMOS capsules and the free shipping. Spend $175, you get free Shilajit capsules, free CMOS capsules, and free shipping. That's the offer right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let him know who sent you. And with that, we return to our guest, Tiffany Cianci. Follow her on X at The Vino Mom. How else can people follow and share your content, Tiffany?
You can visit TiffanyCianci.com. You can come visit me over at Tiffany Cianci on TikTok and on YouTube. And I'm The Vino Mom on Instagram.
There you go. And we're talking about what's happening with data centers and private equity and the hellish marriage of both of these things. What is the Save Our Bacon Act, and why should people be concerned about this?
So the Save Our Bacon Act is sort of related to what we've been doing on pesticide immunity, right? Like, I've been on your show talking about pesticide immunity in the war room a lot. And Alex has been talking about pesticide immunity a lot. Pesticide immunity was one to grant pesticide immunity to, and is still the effort to give pesticide immunity to foreign chemical companies like Syngenta from China, and more prevalently, Bayer Monsanto, the German company. And they've been infiltrating our government with money. Well, they're not the only agricultural monopolies that are doing that. And we're seeing, like, most of our meat packing industry is entirely owned by Brazilian and Chinese companies. Smithfield is owned by China. Brazilian companies own like 80% of the meat packing in the United States, something that Thomas Massey's been working hard to fight. And so when you look right now at what just went into the House, the farm bill that's crossing over to the Senate right now for a new markup, we were able to strip pesticide immunity out. On the fourth attempt, they've pushed this legislative session to secure it for these billionaires that are spending big money to get it. But the Save Our Bacon Act did not get stripped out. And the Save Our Bacon Act is an act that is framed to say that we need it to save the pork industry, that the pork industry is in dire need of an overhaul because states, and they frame it as woke states and liberal states, are making it impossible for farmers to make money. No, monopolies that are owned by foreign governments and foreign investors are making it impossible for farmers to make money. What this bill is designed to do is to make it so when states like Tennessee pass laws that say you can't hold a pig in a crate where they can't sit up, stand up, or move its entire life, which creates a lot of like lesions, illnesses, forces a lot of chemicals into the pig. When a state like Tennessee passes that law, this law supersedes states' rights and says states no longer have a right to regulate the meat their citizens eat. And so this is undoing, if this passes, this will undo states' rights all across America, force a bunch of cruelty back into our food supply that has been like drifting towards humanity at the behest of farmers that want that for a long time. But at the heart of all of it is the erosion of states' rights, which is an ideal that this show stands firmly with. And so the Save Our Bacon Act did cross to the Senate, and now we have a very short window to try to stop it. Because you have several states, mostly agricultural farm states, that have passed laws saying we don't want a bunch of poisons in our meat. And most people don't realize that this is sort of tied to what Thomas Massey has been working on, right? He just passed, got the Prime Act included in the Farm Bill. And the Prime Act, that's designed to make it so that a local farmer here in rural Maryland, where I live, can go to a local meat processor, have that meat broken down, and they can have it packaged, and we can eat it fresh, close to the source. No chemicals, no methane added in, nothing to make the skin pink again, nothing to pump in chemicals in the packaging. What's happening with about 80% of the pork and the beef in the United States right now is they will say that it is raised and packaged in America. It doesn't say made in the USA. It says raised and packaged in America. And that's because they put them in these industrial farms, and a pig is then put to slaughter, and then it's packed in ice, and it's shipped like 2 months across the ocean to China, where it is then processed in China, filled with a bunch of chemicals, a bunch of treatments, bleach baths, and then they put it in packaging, and they pump a bunch of chemicals into the holding containers to keep it looking pink, and it comes 2 more months back across the ocean. Right. And then we plastic wrap it here and it looks like it's raised and packaged in America. But it's had 4 months of chemical interventions on the way back and forth across the ocean. We have no idea what happened to it when it got there and how many chemicals were used, how many antibiotics, how many bleach baths it went through. So when you see that these monopolies have fundamentally forced farmers to make less money and forced them to use practices they don't want to, and then you have states that step in and go, we want to protect our farms. We want to protect our meat packing. And now we have a new effort to undermine the state's right to do that for their own citizens, for their citizens to vote for what they want and what they want their children to eat in their food, right? And so when you see this, you see these consummate efforts by monopolists that are not American companies, by the way. These Yep. bills are being written at the behest of foreign interests that control our food supply. that is something that we need to take an active role in and we need to stop. And that's something. And so the Safer Bacon Act is just as important as removing pesticide immunity, because we have foreign interests that have taken control of our food supply and we need to stop it. The Prime Act that Massey has been working so hard for the last 5 years, that makes it so we can get back to packaging local food. We used to have 200,000 meat processors and packers that were all small businesses in America. Now we have less than 1,500.
Wow.
Less than 1,500 left.
And that story about shipping things to China, I mean, I know that's true. And I used to always point it out as showing the hypocrisy of the climate change agenda, you know, being pushed by globalists, where it's like, hey, look, if you really are concerned about, you know, pollution, how about not sending a giant container ship across the Pacific Ocean twice to process animals? I assume they do it with pigs, but I know they used to do it with chickens, where they would raise chickens here, ship them across the Pacific Ocean, process them, and ship them back. And they act like that's, you know, a positive. I don't know how much they're saving by doing that, but I can't imagine that it's worth it to ship something twice across the Pacific. But apparently it is. It shows you, you know, what corners they're cutting, I guess.
But this is also one more example of how we are subsidizing entire other nations' economies. They've got entire divisions of Chinese provinces that are dedicated to processing our meat by taking the jobs that we could have here processing locally. Think about how much money could be saved and a local farmer could just sell to us fresh, right?
Yep.
They don't have to sell their pigs to these meat packages. The problem is that we've allowed so much regulatory infiltration by these mega corporations and monopolies that they have forced so much regulation onto our farmers and our meat processors that they had to give up and close up shop. One of the most effective things they did was they lobbied to force it so that every single meat processor, a mom and pop shop, has to have an office that they pay for at the rate of $10,000 to $12,000 a month to the government in their little meat packaging place so that a full-time USDA inspector can be stationed at their building. And that forced out every small processor in the United States when prior to that regulatory initiative, it was just a regular health inspector that came in. We didn't have massive outbreaks. We didn't have big problems. What we had were monopolies that wanted greater control. And so they forced unnecessary regulation onto small businesses that they couldn't afford. And it forced them out of business. And now we're propping up entire economies with the work that used to be done here for more efficient and more costly food access. We are forfeiting our sovereignty, and we're doing it at the behest of foreign interests because they're paying our politicians to do it.
And if people don't know this is happening, there's nothing they can do to stand back and stand up and stop it. So we've got a couple things that, you know, are coming down the pipe that we're trying to defend against. How can people defend against this stuff? We got the Save Our Bacon Act, which is overriding states' rights so that states can no longer extricate themselves from the global war on, you know, good meat, essentially is what it is. Really, it's a war on meat overall because it's a war on human flourishing, and meat is a core component of that. So they really want you just eating soy and being a pathetic cuck your whole life. So that's the ultimate down the line operation. But Not to get off course here. We've got the Save Our Bacon Act. We're trying to save the meat packing industry or revitalize it here. You've got the fact that they're going to start spending pension funds on data centers, and we've got the data centers basically becoming immune to protest because people are being arrested for merely speaking out against it. How can we fight back against this? What does our audience need to actually do to tangibly, you know, prevent this stuff from happening?
All right. So we have two big action items today. And one of them, I think, they're both really important right now. First of all, every sitting citizen in the United States has two members of the Senate that you can call right now and say that you want the Save Our Bacon Act stripped out of the farm bill. They're heading to markup in just a couple weeks. So that's what people can start doing right away. You guys can always do that at the link in my bio, but you guys can also look at who's my representative.gov, right? You can go and find who you need to contact. You can be calling them, emailing them.
Sorry to interrupt, but especially let your farmer friends know about this. Like if you're listening and you live around, you know, people that raise cattle or pigs or any, you know, produce, you got to let them know because this stuff is probably being passed without even their knowledge. And they'd be the ones who would be, you know, tangibly affected by this and have a vested interest in preventing this type of thing from passing. So, yes, call your senators. I think that's a great idea. And I everybody should be doing that as we speak. But in addition to that, spread the word to people who this is going to affect because they need to understand their livelihood is at risk here.
And I guess we're going to have a sandwich episode because the when we pivoted from the data centers and the rating of the pensions, yes, your pension is going to be forced into these index funds if these IPOs are granted this valuation, because the SEC made this sweetheart call that's going to grant them unlimited access to your money. And what a lot of people don't recognize is that that is only one part of the pension rating. And over on War Room, you and I have talked a lot about the fact that all 401ks are currently at risk because Trump passed an executive order back in October that he said was democratizing access to investment in the United States. This was lobbied for a decade by private equity, and no president was willing to do it, including Trump in his first term. He said it was lunacy, and he refused, by the way. And once the crypto bros joined forces with him, he capitulated and he did it. Well, so on this other side, we have this executive order that was passed back in October. That executive order was pitched to the American people as giving them access to the billionaires club. We're giving you access to the big money, the big access, the big gambles, but the big rewards, your 401ks, you're in the cool kids club now. What he never said in that executive order is you could always invest in private equity. You could always invest in private credit. You could always invest your 401k in crypto. You just never did because the fee structure is so high, it's impossible for you to make money. Okay, without spending between a minimum $3 million on the best performing, you know, portfolios, and more likely $10 million on the lower performing portfolios, right? Which no one does that in a 401k. You do that in larger investment mechanisms. But unless you're spending millions of dollars, the fees are so high that you cannot make money. And prior to this, you could always invest that way if you wanted to. But if your fund manager did it, and each time your fund manager did it, what happened was they ended up losing entire groups of people's wealth. And you and all of those people formed a class action and you filed something called an ERISA lawsuit. ERISA lawsuits are managed by the Department of Labor, okay? And these ERISA lawsuits would come, and every single time that a fund manager badly invested your money with private equity, they would come in and you would file a class action, and that fund manager would have to make your 401k whole. And that fear was sufficient to stop them from making reckless bets with your money. It created safety, it created security, long-term growth strategies, and a mechanism by which you could hold them accountable. And we've talked about immunity a lot. Well, if you look at Trump's executive order, which again, you could always invest your money in these mechanisms. He makes four paragraphs about you're going to get access to private equity, you're going to get access to private credit, you're going to get access to crypto. And in the very last paragraph, in very tiny language, it says, and I'm calling on the SEC and the DOL to pass new regulations that make it possible. Well, that's what they're doing. The SEC just did it by giving all of these data centers immediate access to the Mag 10 and all of the index funds that are going to force your pensions and your 401ks into buying in at the top of their Ponzi scheme, which is what it is right now. Right. And they're going to sell while you're buying at the top. They're going to be selling and making a killing because they've had private investment open for almost 10 months and they've been buying at the bottom. Right? And then on the other side, you have the Department of Labor. Now, the Department of Labor was really what was most important. The Department of Labor had to pass a new rule that granted immunity to the fund managers. And that's exactly what they're doing. They've engaged in a rulemaking process. And I sent over a link to it. The rulemaking process says that once approved, it will make it illegal for Americans to form class action ERISA lawsuits to hold fund managers accountable when they invest your money badly in private equity, private credit, or crypto. It's granting them immunity. And it has only one benchmark to ban your ability to bring a lawsuit. And that benchmark is moderate due diligence with zero definition for what that means. That could mean looking at a prospectus. That could mean sitting on the guy who runs that fund manager's yacht and getting a really sweetheart kickback compensation structure for recommending this to your investors, right? To your pension holders, your 401k holders, and looking at that prospectus and going, this feels moderately investigated. Mm. It could literally mean just that. And you are no longer able to hold them accountable when they invest your money in these 401ks and your 401ks, your pensions into these private equity and private credit markets, which are in a bubble that is bursting in real time, that is begging for a bailout right now of $12 trillion. Well, conveniently, right now, in dry powder available in the 401k structures, there's about $12.8 trillion available. And so as long as they pass this rule, your 401k is going to be free range for these billionaires to get bailed out of their own bad investments. The same investments that Harvard and Yale have pulled out of, the same bad investments that JP Morgan just cut off lending to, the same bad investments that at Blue Owl, at BlackRock, at Blackstone have had to now halt withdrawals because there's a run on the banks because they're all bad investments in, wait for it, data centers that are all funded by private credit markets. And so there's this rulemaking process, and I'm sorry to say they kept it very quiet for a very long time. And so we only have until Monday to stop it. And that's a really, really short time frame. But your show has helped me stop two other rulemaking processes in the past, and we're here to stop this one. So right now at the Department of Labor, there's a rulemaking process. And the way rulemaking works is actually one of the places where we still have a lot of say. The way that it's statutized is that they have to post the rule, the proposed rule, and then Americans get given a couple months to give feedback. Now, a lot of billionaires have lobbied to make it really hard to find the opportunity to participate in this. So you have to click through quite a few things to get there, but I've made it easy. I've given you the immediate link, and the immediate link is posted at the top of my link in every one of my social media channels. And all you have to do is click the green, leave a comment button. And you're going to go in and leave a comment and say, I do not support the enactment of this law. Americans deserve and have the constitutional right to bring lawsuits when our money is mismanaged, right? You can say that. You can write longer paragraphs. You can write whole statements. You can write an entire essay if you want. You can include up to 20 attachments. But we need to make it heard, because I'm going to be honest, the crypto lobby has done a very good job of convincing everybody that they can't invest in crypto without this new rule. And so they've been flooding the comment section with like bot generated content. And so we need to out influence this. You can already invest in crypto. You can already invest in private equity and private credit. You will lose your money, but you can do that. But right now you at least have protection if somebody else invests it badly. And we need to protect that interest. And so people have to go and participate in this rulemaking process. And we only have until Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern time. And I'm calling on every single American to get in there and make your voice heard. And there's three ways you can do it. You can do it as a person. You can do it as an organization, or you can do it anonymously. I strongly encourage you to include your information, because once you submit your comment, it's going to be screened. There's an entire human screening division that will block out all of your identifying information. It will never be seen in the public forums, but they have to verify real people submitted comments to put back the proposal that explains what people want. Because once all the comments are received by Monday, it will go to a nonpartisan auditing firm, and they will tabulate what Americans want, and they will make the proposal back as to whether to enact it or to deny this rule, based on how many Americans that can be verified made their voices heard. Now, let's say that you're an American that has a 401k. You should submit as a person. Let's say you're a Girl Scout leader and your Girl Scouts are working on their smart money badge. And you guys have done some investigation and you think that this is not a good idea. You can submit as an organization. You could submit through your Rotary Club. You could submit through your Catholic Charities Board. You could submit through your local investment club. You could submit through all of those organizations, right? And you can also submit anonymously. I will continue to say you need a different email address for each submission, and I would never suggest submitting more than once. You do need a different email address for each.
So this is what it looks like. And there's the big green button, submit a public comment. So our audience has until Monday to do this, but it only takes a few minutes, and there's really no excuse not to do it today, right now, and then maybe tomorrow. What is this? How do we get here? Like, how do we find this link? I just want to give step-by-step instructions to our audience. Yeah. So there's no confusion, no excuses. How do they find
that page literally is 30 clicks deep on a government website, because they want lobbyists to be the only ones that know how to find it, because lobbyists submit these huge reports on why it should be enacted, right? But I've made it really easy. You can go to any one of my social media profiles, and the link in my bio, the top link is this form. You just one click and you're there.
So you got
to. You don't have to go through 30 clicks.
It's your link tree. You hit.
It's my link tree, the very top link.
Okay, so at the Vino Mom on X, you can go to that, or you can go to Linktree/Tiffany Cianci. But it's right there at the top. Fight to stop the bailout, fiduciary duties, and selecting designated investment alternatives. So I'm going to go ahead and tweet this out as well. So if you follow me at Harrison H. Smith, that will be my top tweet for the next little while. Because again, no excuses. No, well, I tried, but I couldn't quite find it. Boom, right there. Harrison H. Smith, click the button in the non-pinned first link, first tweet of mine, and that will take you right there. There's the link tree itself, and you can click that top box there to take you right there. So go right there, hit the big green button. Could not be more simple. Brilliant stuff. Okay, we only got 3 minutes left. What else do people need to know?
I mean, what I want people to recognize is that we've been convinced and conditioned to believe that voting is the only way we get to participate in government. There are so many ways we can stop so many of the things that have been corrupted in our government systems right now. This is one thing we still have, right? And this works. A lot of people think that when we do these things, it doesn't work. We were able to pass two new rules at the FTC over the last 2 years using this exact method with almost exclusively my followers and your followers, right? Our voice does still matter, and it matters statutorily. But there are also 1,000 other ways that your voice matters, right? In 26 states in the United States, we have what are called referendum laws. Now, you know what a referendum is? It's where you can go and write a law, you can collect some signatures from your neighbors, and you can get it on the ballot circumventing your legislature, right? We have the ability to make ourselves heard. There are also 100,000 politicians in the United States each year that run unopposed, right? Because they've always had the job, they get to keep the job, and people keep paying them to stay there, and they get corrupted and they take money. Go run for office. Like, we got to start participating. Every time I come here, I come with new ways that we can make a difference. We can change things. And it's working. I like to believe that we are showing your audience in real time that this bubbly little fairy of doom paired with you is making a difference. We stripped pesticide immunity out. We passed small business protections at the FTC. We are passing referendum laws against data centers right now. We can do this. And I'll help anyone that wants to. You want to run for office? Well, Massey, we just out-influenced their money. They sent Hegseth out there. Like, we got there a little bit later than we should have, but we also drowned out their voices and doubled the amount of turnout at the polls. You know, if you look at Cornyn in Texas, he had a 30% landslide. We kept this one within 10 points. If we'd gotten there 3 weeks earlier, we could have changed everything. Every voice in America matters. Every voice. And everything we do matters. And while they've really worked very, very hard to convince us that we have to just take it and roll over, it's happening in real time that we're proving that's not true. Like, Maine and Hawaii right now are passing laws to overturn Citizens United, and they're headed to the Supreme Court, and it could work, right? Like, there are things that are happening in referendum all across the United States. In Maryland, we're overturning the data center regulations by citizen signature. We're not doing it by begging politicians that already took the money. We're just circumventing them. We're going around them. And we're running for office.
And that's the way to do it. And you see the effect that's having of, all over the country. People are trying to, because the thing is, they can only do this if it's in secret without your awareness. And they try to do that. They try to slip it under the door before you realize what they're doing. We have to stay on top of it. You know, this is the cost of liberty is eternal vigilance. You have to be vigilant against this and not wait for them to give you permission to speak out against them or try to stop them. You have to try to stop them using whatever tools that you have at your disposal. And as dysfunctional as our system currently is, it still has these abilities for us to intervene as regular citizens and stop what the powerful want to do. It really is the beauty of the American system. We have to utilize that as well as we can. Tiffany, incredible as always, the bubbly little fairy of doom. Follow her on X at the Vino Mom, TiffanyCianci.com, and of course on Instagram at the Vino Mom as well. Thank you so much. We'll have to check in with you, see how we did here. You have until Monday. It's at the top of my X. It's on Tiffany's link tree. Go there, sign it, fill it out. Thanks for being with us once again, Tiffany.
Thanks always, Harrison.
Incredible as always, hardest working woman on social media. We'll be right back, folks, with Mary Talley Bowden, Dr. Mary Talley Bowden, talk about Ebola and other globalist schemes to take our rights. Stay with us, folks. It's the Alex Jones Show, alexjoneslive.com.
These new data centers will oversee everyone in the galaxy. I will be in full control.
Power levels are stable. Proceed with the install. Copy that. Installing the module now. Connection confirmed. All green.
Cable secured. Power to the cluster. Initiating boot sequence. Component locked. Running diagnostics. Archive systems online. Report to command.
Construction team, report status. Power grid stable. TK-421. Cabling complete. No faults. Proceed to phase two for the Empire.
Things are going according to plan. The Emperor will be happy. The Empire demands perfection.
Status report. Any anomalies?
Diagnostics are clear, sir.
Proceed with the calibration. Watch for fluctuations.
I find your desire for privacy insignificant. The Empire's new data network will observe every corner of the galaxy, every signal, every act of disloyalty.
A disturbance in the Force there is. Feel it, you can.
Those who obey have nothing to fear. Those who resist will be terminated.
Resistance.